Well, I want to get started, and it's a difficult time, I think a little difficult to preach after Christmas, and then before the new year gets on, you're going to preach well. Do you stay on the theme of Christmas time? Do you get into what you're going to do in this new year? And so I trust that the Lord has led in the right direction. I'll get back, Lord willing, into Luke after the new year gets started, maybe a couple different variations there for a couple weeks, but we'll get started as we are working our way through Luke, as you know, on Sunday mornings. But I want to preach this morning and a little bit about Christmas, because you have this time when you're thinking, well, am I supposed to get my Christmas decorations, put them down? Some of you, I talked to somebody, Miss Phyllis, they were getting them down day of, day after, I think. And some of you, you're just getting a head start for next year. Saying, oh no, they're up early. Because somewhere I see people's Christmas lights, you're out visiting house to house sometimes. And like about May, June, you're saying, okay, are these left over? Or are these people just really, really early? So you don't know about that. But some people have done that. Others are leaving it up for a while. Others are taking them down. And some, you've had a half a week or a whole week. Or some people have even more off. And you've got another week because the vacation day it worked out. But then some people are back at it. So it's always difficult to preach and try to hit both those. Like the lady that went back, she was a school teacher, went back and was trying to clean up before all the kids got there, and then finally the kids did come, and she was taking down decorations. Each of them had drawn manger scenes, and she really hadn't noticed it before at Christmas time, but she was taking this one little girl's picture down. It had the manger scene, of course, the little baby Jesus and all that, but right at the back there was three guys, and she'd looked, they had hats and coats on, and then she looked a little closer. She said, no, that's not hats and coats. That's a fireman's helmet and fireman's coats. And so she asked the little girl when she got back what that was all about, and she said, well, my dad, when he gets up, reads a Christmas story and talks about it at church, he says those three wise men came from afar. So you get it, you know, come from afar. So she's from West Virginia, so it kind of slid on in there, far, come from afar. That's not the only joke I've got. I got another one. So since I noticed some of you didn't like that one, this little second grader was asked where, who her hero was. And so she was supposed to write it down, as a little school project. And so she wrote it down, and she wrote her dad. He was so proud as a peacock. He said, oh, that's wonderful. He asked her later. He said, well, I appreciate you saying that. Why do you say that? Why'd you put down that I was your hero? I'm thankful, but why'd you do that? And she said, well, Dad, really, it's because I can't spell Arnold Schwarzenegger. So Dad should just stop while he was ahead, you know, just leave it at that. But I think about this time of year, and so I tried to see where the Lord would have us to be at. This is a very unique family, of course. Mary, the mother of Jesus. Jesus, the Christ child. Joseph, the stepfather of Messiah. And here after their time in Bethlehem, it wasn't necessarily December 25th. People argue back and forth when it was, when it wasn't. Really, we're not worshiping the day. We are worshiping the Lord of the day, be that sometime in the spring, like some people say, or some other time. It doesn't matter. So they wouldn't have necessarily packed up and then got on into their new year, like we would say. But in today's day and age, we'd say, well, we're after Christmas. Now we're before the new year, and we're going to, next Sunday morning, we'll be into the new year, and 25 will be done, and we'll be well into 26, and we'll have different things that we've got to look for as agendas. And so you say, well, how can we march into that? Well, again, the family here that we know about from the Christmas story wouldn't have necessarily had that same mindset, but I don't think we'll do any damage to Scripture as we look in it. So if you would look at Matthew, I challenged you last week, and maybe you didn't have a chance to do it, but if not, you should do it this week, to look in Matthew 1, 2, and Luke 2, and just live a little bit in the Christmas stories there, just to get them put down into your heart. So Matthew 1, Matthew 2, Luke 2. But we're looking at Matthew chapter 2, verse number 13. Now, in the first 12 verses of the scriptures here in this chapter, you would have seen the wise men. They came. And they came to see the young child, as the Bible calls him. And in verse number 12 of Matthew 2, we see, and they are being warned of a God in a dream, that this is the wise men, that they should not return to Herod, because Herod said, well, tell me when you find him, because I want to worship him too. Well, he wanted to kill him, but he said they departed, should not return to Herod. They departed into their own country another way. And then we're going to look at verse number 13, because that's where we want to start with the message today. And when they were departed, that's they being the wise men, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of by the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. Now you remember in the Old Testament that back in Hosea, that was a prophecy that out of Egypt God would call his son. So it's an amazing thing the way you look at it, because Joseph and Mary had to get from Nazareth down to Bethlehem. We preached about that a few weeks ago. They had to get down there because the Bible said that Bethlehem was going to be the place where Messiah came out of. But also in the Old Testament was prophesied that out of Egypt, I'm going to call my son. And so God was going to get not only that family down to Bethlehem, but then from Bethlehem after he was born, he was going to get them down to Egypt. Some historians claim that that's why the gold would have been important that the wise men brought, because that would have given them the funds to travel down to Egypt and then live for a while and then get back up. But regardless, we see that God moved them there because prophecy had already been given that Egypt was going to bring, he was going to come out of Egypt. And he did, and then went on back up to Nazareth. But after the story of this important time in life, our Christ child was born. We want to kind of look at the story after the story, because in this lull that we have, sometimes people get in depression, sometimes they get upset because maybe the fun is over, maybe there was no fun. Sometimes people around you are cheerful and happy and they're having a wonderful time, but you are not because the love of your life is gone. Maybe some sicknesses have taken them on in years past or whatnot. And so people notoriously are prone to depression this time of year. And so as we look at all these things combined, I want to look at the story after the story and preach to you how we're going to enter the new year, or what do we do after Christmas is over, or what to do in this lull time that we have. I want to look at the scriptures and trust to be a blessing to you. In Matthew chapter 2, where we're at, verse number 13, we see first of all that Joseph, the stepfather of Jesus, was listening for the Lord's instruction. The angel of the Lord appeared, the Bible says, to Joseph. I love what it says in verse number 14, if you're still there. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night. I love the expediency of it. I love the fact that when he got up, he just did exactly what the angel that was dispatched from God told him to do. He just went and did it. They listened for the Lord's voice. We see Joseph getting directions from God. This is not the first time that Joseph got instructions from God. You remember that Joseph was obviously worried that the reputation of his espoused, of his betrothed, was tarnished because she was going to be of child, and God sent the angel to remind him, or to tell him rather, says, Joseph, don't be afraid of that which is conceived is of the Holy Ghost, and told him to take her, protect her. And so that wasn't the first time that Joseph was instructed by an angel dispatched from God, but this is another time when God gives the angel the word to give to Joseph, and Joseph listens to what the Lord has to say through his angel. I want to ask this question this morning before we go any further, and that is this: if you knew what God wanted you to do, would you do it? It's really a sobering question, because I'm afraid sometimes we dance all around what we want to do, and sometimes we call it God's will, but there are obvious things that God has already put upon our heart that we just simply are dragging our feet on. Kyle and Daniel facilitate a lot of the things with the classes and different things, and Nathan, who leads the singing for the first service, is up with the children a lot of times, and we have folks that will tell me that, hey, we wanted to help, and I've been wanting to help in those classes for a long time. It's amazing when we drag our feet when God's already led us into doing something. Well, we see here that Joseph in verse number 14 says, when he got up, he arose, took the young child and his mother by night, and departed into Egypt. Am I listening for his voice? Now, if you go home and say, Pastor, God spoke to me, I heard his voice. Please don't tell me that. You'll scare me and I'll be scared for you if you don't have enough sense to be scared. I've never heard an audible voice, but I have sat, prayed, sometimes ridden along and prayed, walked and prayed. And it's as if some clarity comes to a situation that I needed clarity in. And it's as if some things get pushed out of the way when everything got still and you could now hear from the Lord. Again, you don't hear audibly. There's a lot of things that I need to do around the church here, and I'm excited about what God has for us, but I need clarity, and I want to know God's will. And so that means that I, as a pastor, am going to have to get alone with Him. The Bible says in Psalm 46, verse 10, be still and know that I am God. And as you get alone with God, as you get alone with your thoughts, and you let God guide and help you, it may be such a thing as referenced this in the last month, helping with a family, and people have been very estranged from each other. It could be such a thing that when you get alone with God, and you start listening to Him, that he puts some of that pride out, and then you humble yourself and you reach back out to somebody who maybe you should have reached out to long ago. I'm saying this morning that Joseph listened for the Lord's voice. You won't hear the angel necessarily, but you will hear the sweet, still, small voice of the Lord. Our earthly fathers are sometimes easier to hear than our heavenly Father. We had a church van one time. I'm sure it was donated by a good, well-meaning church. But this old Dodge van that has very short fronts, and the engine is some up front, but a lot of it's inside. It's got this large case over it. And so my dad, who doesn't like mechanics, and I'm pretty sure he didn't like mechanics helper that day, because that was me, the mechanics helper. And he had that doghouse, as they call it, off the back of that Dodge van engine. And he was looking at it, but it was getting dark and we needed it fixed. And so he said, here, son, hold this flashlight. So I held that flashlight, but my little probably 7-8 year old mind was wandering, wandering here and there. And so as my mind would wander, so would the beam of that light. And my dad had an interesting way to get our attention back. Turn this mic off for just a second, Heath. He'd say, "Here!" Then you turn it back on. You say, "What's that?" "I don't know what it is, except I know what fear it puts into a young boy's heart. I don't know how you spell it. I don't know where it came from. I just know what it does." And then he'd use that, and then he'd say, "Now point the light where I want it, not where you want it." I could hear my dad's voice, that's for sure. And sometimes you long for the easy voice to hear of your earthly father, but our heavenly Father, although much kinder and much more gracious and much more loving and much more able and all these things, isn't always so easily discerned. We have to listen. We have to be willing to wait and hear. But Joseph finds himself listening to God's voice, or the messenger that he sends. You're in Matthew, turn to Luke. You're just two books over to the normal Christmas story. In Luke chapter 2, we're going to look at verse number 39. I say, first of all, they listened to for the Lord's instruction. But in Luke chapter 2, verse number 39, that's well down past the bulk of the Christmas story. This is after Simeon had said, "Lord, I've seen the salvation of Israel." And then Anna, the sweet testimony of her, the prophetess that had saw the Lord as well. But then in verse number 39, we see that, "And when they, being Joseph, Mary, had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit and filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him." They followed the written word. Look at what it says in verse 39 again. They performed all things according to the law of the Lord. They had to come to the temple. They had to come up, as the Bible says, they came up yearly to do that. They had to come up and perform what God had commanded for all the families to do. And I see that they not only listened to God's voice and His instruction, but they also followed the written word. You know, it's amazing how many times we excuse ourselves from following the plain, clear, written word of God. "Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Galatians 6 tells, "Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them." It gives us instruction after instruction after instruction. Tells us as believers how we're supposed to be kind to each other. Tells us how we're supposed to believe the good things about them and think on the things that are good, honest, and good report. It tells us what to do. But oftentimes we don't obey. We simply excuse what we want to do instead. But if this story, the after story, as it were, the story after the story, Jesus Christ born in Bethlehem's manger. But then after that, what does the family that's entrusted to raise the Christ child, what do? They find themselves going to do what the law has said that all families are supposed to do. If anybody could have skipped out some of these instructions, I would think it'd been this family. It is the Christ child. Are we sure that he needs any of these rituals done? Do we think that he needs these? He's the Messiah. Yet, as Jesus would later say in his life, think not that I'm come to destroy the law. I'm not come to destroy, but to fulfill. And so his family followed the written word. I give you this last one. You're in Luke, but look at verse number 43 as you make your way down. We see that they returned to Nazareth, but now, verse number 41, his parents went to Jerusalem every year as the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast, and they had fulfilled the days. They returned. The child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph, his mother, knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinfolk and acquaintance. When they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. Came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. I would be much different than now. Mary and Joseph would have traveled undoubtedly in a caravan, as it mentions, the family. They would have traveled down and done those yearly sacrifices together, and they would have made a trek out of those things. And so, like when I grew up, there was aunts that I had that they watched us a good bit of time, and my mom and dad didn't always know where we were. They just trusted we were with somebody else. I mean, if you grew up in church, I don't even know if you had a childhood in church if you didn't get left a few times. I mean, we've gotten home. There's only four of us, and mom's like, 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. Nope. There's one more kid somewhere. Well, he's asleep at a pew on the back of the church. Everybody just turned the lights off. It was usually my brother that's a year older than me. He not only got left at church a good bit, but he left him on the school bus one time. We got home from the public school, and I don't know what the rest of us were doing. I guess just getting off. Well, maybe we're rid of him. I don't remember that part, but I do remember that I had to go to the bus lot and find him. And that was before the days when they make their way back to the back of the bus and then shut the door. So they just left him back there. And so if you grew up in church, you get left at church a time or two. I don't even know if you really grew up in church. That's kind of a memory that shocks or, you know, changes you forever. Well, in essence, that's what happens here. They're leaving the temple and they're going back up a day's journey, and they think other families got him, but they don't. And then when they finally do, then they turn around. But that's not the message, and great message has been preached about that. But the message or the thought is this: they, Joseph, Mary, they did have Jesus around good influences. So not only were they listening to God's instruction, but they were also following the written word, but they also had good influences around him. Supposing him to have been in the company. Now, I don't understand verse number 52, and it's probably because our brains just can't comprehend, but verse number 52 of that Luke 2 says this: and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. This is the Messiah. This is God himself. This is the creator of the world. This is everything that God can do. This is that God. But part of that deity was never lost, but part of it must have been veiled because he increased in wisdom. This is the wisdom of all the ages. This is the great I am. This is the first and the last. This is the beginning, the end. But he must have obviously veiled some of that because he increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. The same one up in verse number 46. He was hearing them and asking them questions. And so Jesus was growing. And Joseph and Mary, it looks like, they tried to put him around good influences. If I had young kids, our youngest is 19 right now. If I had young kids, then I would want them to be in a church like this. Brother Wade Garber and I were just talking about the children's program and that they serve in. And we're thinking about how much of a blessing it is trying to get the word of God into young people. If I had young people, I had babies, I had toddlers, I would want them to hear at church. I would want them here in Sunday school. I'd want them here in children's services. I'd want them here for everything. If I had teenagers, and we do barely just at one, but I'd want them involved in the youth group. If I had young singles, I would want them here so that they could be under the word of God and so they could have some good friendships. I'd want them to make connections so that they could have that great resource. There's a horrible story in the Old Testament. Amnon, who was the son of David, king, And Amnon wanted to do wicked things to a family member of his, but he didn't have the courage to do it. But the scripture says in 1 or 2 Samuel, wherever it is, he uses this phrase, but Amnon had a friend. And so what Amnon would not do, wouldn't get the courage to do on his own because of a friend that was wicked and vile. And he said, no, you can just do that. And he pushed him into doing what he wanted to do all along. But as we look at me and look at you, If I had children of that age, I'd say I want them here in church all the time. As my dad used to say, being here in church every time the doors are open, just at this activity and youth activities and this and that, just because I'd want them around everybody. And sometimes we get the idea that we can go throughout this and just be the Lone Ranger. Can I remind you that the Lone Ranger had Tonto? Batman had Robin? Andy had Barney? Everybody's got somebody. Moses, Joshua, they all had somebody. And God didn't want us to be on our own. Instead, the Bible says that in Proverbs 27, that iron sharpeneth iron, and the church is the God's gift to you as an individual. Did God need the church? No, he didn't need the church, but he did design the church to be the one that gets the gospel out, but also as a fringe benefit, if you want to look at it that way, as an extra blessing, you get to have encouragement, you get to have surrounding friends, and you get to have those that can push you along the way, because don't even fool yourself into thinking that you're always going to be on top side. One of those days you're going to come in and you need lifted up. But the next time you come in, you're on top side and you're walking with the Lord and you're where you're supposed to be, then you're the one that's needed there to lift. And sometimes when you and I get to thinking, well, I don't even know that I need to go to church. It may be on that day that you don't need to go to church, but somebody that's going to sit on the pew that you're in or sit in the balcony seat that you're in desperately needs you to be at church because you're going to say something that encourages them. That brings another sermon while you're here. Encourage people. But you say, I don't need to go today, and you might not. But you don't know that person that you're just going to encourage as you walk down the hall and say, I'm praying for you. It's good to see you. What we see the family do, the family has him around good environments. You think Mary had been pretty careful, I'm sure. She was handling the Messiah. And we all need to be around people. I challenge everybody, every chance I get, I challenge everybody in this room to get involved in a Sunday school class, 10 o'clock, the hour before this hour. We have groups that are smaller than this one, and you can get prayer requests given. You can have encouragement. You can have some camaraderie, fellowship, connection. I challenge everybody to do that, be in a Sunday school class, which really just uses a connection group. One of these days, then, if the Lord would allow, I believe we need to have more space so that we can have more adult classes, so that we can have some of these groups that people can have their fellowship in better than a room this size. And so you pray for us that God would give wisdom to how to get that accomplished. But what I'm speaking of this morning is that this family, the Christ child that they were entrusted with, they had him around good influences. And I believe that if you want to march into this new year the right way, then you will have you, if that's just you, or you and your family around good influences. Don't be so bold and braggadocious and proud to think that I can just do it. My friend, that's the recipe for disaster. What's the scripture say? Pride goeth before destruction, haughty spirit before a fall. Whenever we think we've got it all taken care of is when we might be on the path to lose what we do have. So leaving out of Christmas, again, in my little mind, if we could just say, okay, Mary, Christmas time, we're heading on to the new year. Well, Joseph still listened for the Lord's instructions. Are you listening for the Lord's instructions? It's easy to find. You've got it laying in your lap right there. Just dive in it. Are we listening to his instructions? Are we listening for that still small voice? There's people in this room that what you need to do this week, this month, and every month of this year, need to find yourself in a sweet, quiet spot. Maybe that's in a mountain somewhere. Maybe that's at the beach. Maybe that's in the back room of your house. Maybe that's on the back of your property taking a walk. I don't know. But where you leave everything else and you just walk with the Lord. You just sit with the Lord. You just let the Lord lead and guide. It's amazing how many things you get figured out if you just listen for that still small voice. They listen for the voice of the Lord. Listen for the instruction. but they also followed the written word, and then they had great influences. So as we take our decorations down and we get ready for whatever's happening this year, as we get ready for different family plans, as we get ready for different things going on at church, as we get ready for all of these, this, that, and the other, may we march into this year with a game plan, listening to the Lord, getting into His Word, and being around people who will help me and I can help them be what God wants me to be and be what God wants them to be. Father, we're grateful for the chance to be in Your house. I pray, dear Lord, that we would faithfully navigate through these next few days into the next year. And Lord, may we put some good habits in place that will help sustain us and help us be what You want us to be. And perhaps you're here this morning and He's done a work in your heart. And you need to make some decisions for Him. Lord, I do need to listen. I do need to listen. I need to hear. I need to read. I need to have the camaraderie of a connection group, a Sunday school class, a church group, people that's going to push me up, not pull me down. My friend, if God's gone to the trouble, there's no trouble with God, but if God's gone to the trouble of burdening your heart just in this hour about something that you need to do, then I challenge you to go to the trouble of making it right with Him and responding. You can respond up here. You're welcome to pray at this altar. You can respond out in your seat right there. Tell Lord, I will. I want to get in the Word. I want to be listening. I want to be involved. If you're able to, would you stand together with us? Brother Daniel's down at the front. And if you need some spiritual help, something heavy on your heart, then he would be glad to help you, pray with you, walk with you through whatever you're going through. Maybe you're here this morning, not sure that you're on your way to heaven. I didn't preach about that, but you know why Jesus came to this earth, the babe in the manger, grew to be the Savior on the cross. He was the Savior all along, but went to the cross, died there for you, rose again in victory, is in heaven again, did it for you. If you're not sure you're saved, would you step out and come? Maybe there's some other spiritual decision you need to make. Maybe you are saved, but you need to be baptized. You want to come and present yourself for that. We'll do it in a service real soon. Maybe you need to join Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. You'd like to come present yourself for that. Whatever your leading of the Lord is, let's not leave out of here without obeying Him. As they play one more verse, if God's speaking to your heart, you come. Thank you so much. You may look this way. And what a joy to spend the last Sunday morning of this year together. And thank you for being in church. I failed to mention earlier, but if you're a guest with us, we so appreciate you being here. There's a connect card in front of you in that pew back in the scuffle as we leave. If you didn't care to get that and fill it out and take it to the guest services counter right in the lobby, and they just have a record of your visit, I'd get a letter out to you, but they've also got a gift for you just for being our guest. We want to say thank you for being here. If you didn't care to take the time to do that, we'd certainly appreciate it. And then tonight, we're looking forward to a good time. Brother Michael Turner will be here. He's going to present the ministry that God God has used, has led him in. And so his wife grew up here. His parent or his in-laws serve faithfully here for so many years, and we're grateful for them. So Brother Michael, I'm going to ask you to slip back to your table. He's got his display out there for the work of the mission work that God has raised them up for, and challenge you to get to know them a little bit. And then we're also going to have some good singing tonight, and I'm looking forward to hearing Nick and Elizabeth Sandridge, and we always enjoy that. And we'll kick off the last Sunday night of the year. And do be praying one for another, and I trust that the message today has spurred some thoughts in our hearts. As we go forward, what can we do to be more like Christ, be more like He wants us to be, and live in according to that? Well, if you're a married couple in here, one last announcement. There are some information sheets back in the lobby about our couples retreat coming up. It's February 27th, 28th, to the moon and back, and it is a great time. I think the cost is $190, and there's a way to get a 15% off that if you do it in the next week or so, but there's information sheets out there. I'd like to invite you. We'll go to Pigeon Forge, have a great time, just one night, the next morning, but a great time, and maybe you've never been to one, but it's going to be a wonderful help to you. You say, Pastor, my marriage is great. Good. Keep it that way. That's the way I say. I'll be there. And my marriage, as far as I know, is great. But I hope that Amy would say the same. But we're going to be there. And I told you that Miss Joy Edmonds is back here. Her mom and dad did such a good job for us as well. So we love our couples retreats. And so I challenge you to sign up for that. Well, all we want to say is one last time, if you don't mind me saying, even after the fact, Merry Christmas. Pastor, don't say that. Well, then Happy New Year. Take your pick. God bless you. You're dismissed.